Hello and welcome to the Joe Downtown Show on KUNV 91.5 FM. Each week we'll be discussing all things related to downtown Las Vegas, its rebirth, its failures, successes, and the many interesting people working and living in a part of the city that until very recently was pretty much forgotten and left for decay. I'm Joe Shaneman, a Las Vegas Sun reporter who also writes a regular column in Las Vegas Weekly. You can find me in both publications and online under the heading of Joe Downtown. If you have any idea for future stories, please send me an email at joe.downtown@lasvegassun.com or at my Twitter account at joedowntownlv. As you listen, you may be hearing the bustle and tinkling of silverware and dishes in the background. That's because we're taping this at the Beat Coffee House in the Emergency Arts Building at 6th and Fremont Streets. Though the show is taped, we hope to soon be broadcasting live so we can take calls for comments and questions. So let's get to the show. Today's show is a thematic trip from the known to the unknown. In this case, the known is somebody I really don't even have to identify very well. Just say his name, Tony Hsieh. Hsieh is the CEO of Zappos.com, the mega online realtor, and he is a partner in Downtown Project, the private downtown redevelopment agency, pouring $350 million into real estate, education, tech, small business, and entertainment. A few moments ago, I typed Tony Hsieh in the Google search engine, and 757,000 results came back. Over the last 3 years, since announcing his move of Zappos headquarters from Henderson into the old Las Vegas City Hall, Hsieh's stature as a representative of his company, but also of Las Vegas, has risen to star status. It's hard to swing a dead cat downtown without hearing someone talking about Zappos, Hsieh, or Downtown Project. To many, however, Hsieh remains a cipher. I'm guessing he's worth, well, more than you, me, and blocks of people combined. The thing is, he doesn't look or act like a zillionaire. To see him on the streets in what I'll call his uniform, a t-shirt, blue jeans, and ASICS tennies, is to see what you might call a regular schmo. Maybe that's just the regular guy shtick he's trying to pull off. I don't know. But to talk to him, you get a sense that he's a little bit more than just a regular guy. He has a mind alight with ideas. He's an intense listener. He's very busy. But generally, from the viewpoint of many, many people who know him, he's a genuinely good guy. So let's talk. Welcome, Tony.
That was an interesting intro. A dead cat?
Yeah. Yeah, you can't swing a dead cat downtown. Okay. I've tried it without hitting somebody who knows you. Now, let's get to the big news of this week really quickly. You had an enormous week moving Zappos headquarters into City Hall. Over the next six weeks, some 1,500 employees will be moving in. I just want to ask you this question because people out in the hustings who don't live downtown are wondering, what in the heck are you doing moving into downtown Las Vegas? Is this really a good move for a multi-billion dollar company?
We're super, super excited about it. I think it's actually going to be the thing that is going to help accelerate from Zappos' perspective, really take things to the next level from our in terms of company culture. We actually started out in San Francisco, and in 2004, I think it was, so almost 10 years ago, moved the entire company from San Francisco to Vegas. We were initially next to the airport and had 90 employees at the time, and about 70 ended up moving with the company. And we didn't realize it at the time, but it was actually one of the best things we could have done for our company culture, because the employees that were here didn't know anyone else in Vegas, so we were all kind of forced to hang out with each other and after work and on weekends, and it really developed these strong personal relationships. And as we've grown, it's really become just part of our culture. We mix personal and professional. And what we found is that when people develop not just coworker relationships, but true friendships, that back in the office, there's higher levels of trust. Communication is better. People are willing to do favors for each other because they're doing favors for friends, not just coworkers. And it actually ends up adding a lot to the productivity. So I'm pretty excited from the Zappos perspective what moving downtown will do once employees are able to live, work, play all within walking distance. You know, there's really something pretty special about being able to run into another employee in just a completely non-office environment. So that's the Zappos perspective. And then putting on my Downtown Project hat on, I think it's pretty exciting to be able to help accelerate the revitalization of the area. There's Zappos moving was probably what made the original headlines a couple years ago, but there's so much happening that actually is not Zappos related at all. And we have a tech startup community that's really growing and thriving. There's a music scene that's being accelerated, and there's even creative writers looking to move here. And just in the past year, I think there's been 30 companies that have relocated from other states or even countries to here. And just a couple weeks ago, I think I introduced you to a company that was based out of China, originally was going to move
to... What's the name of that company again?
Order With Me.
Right.
And they were originally going to move to Silicon Valley, came here, saw what was happening with the community and how friendly everyone is, and now they actually are living here now.
Let me ask you about the tech aspect. Like, I don't want to speak out of turn, but to call you a tech geek might not be unkind. I think it's almost like a flattery downtown these days. But if the tech, I guess, let's finish this sentence. Downtown project will be a failure if what?
If we don't help accelerate what's going on here. I guess part of what's exciting for me personally is really this opportunity to help downtown Vegas become a place of inspiration, entrepreneurial energy, creativity, discovery, and so on. And part of what was so exciting about moving, you know, a couple of years ago, the idea of moving our headquarters to this area was the seeds of that were already here, and really we just wanted to help put fuel on that.
Well, conversely, a downtown project will be a success if you obviously do those things, if you accelerate that. But is it, what's more important to you, creating a downtown environment for Zappos employees, for the community, which I would include, let's just say, not Zappos employees, but the community of Vegas, or for to make it like, this is what I hear down here, so don't take this wrong, Tony Hsieh's playground, the place you're most comfortable with. Which of those do you want to create most?
So the way companies like Google or Apple or Nike, for example, the way they think about creating a paradise for employees in terms of their headquarters is really by building this kind of fortress where it doesn't really integrate with the surrounding community or ecosystem. And we wanted to turn that entire concept inside out. And really, when you come and visit our campus, you'll see the plaza is open to the community. And we want the community to come in, and we want our employees to not just hang out in the campus, but actually hang out in the community. And so I guess the way I think about it is it's really we want to invest in the ecosystem. And the ecosystem is going to help everyone. It's going to help Zappos. It's going to help the local community. It's going to help newcomers that are just now joining the community.
Just an identifier for a moment here. I'm Joe Shaneman, who writes under Joe Downtown in Las Vegas Sun and Las Vegas Weekly. This is the Joe Downtown Show at KUNV 91.5 FM. I'm talking to Tony Hsieh. I don't think I need to identify him to many of you, but he's the CEO of Zappos and a partner in the Downtown Project, a ambitious redevelopment agency working, obviously, downtown. In 10 years, how big do you think Zappos will be? I mean, in terms of how many employees?
I have no idea.
I've heard 10,000. Somebody, you know, one of your many people a long time ago mentioned that to me.
I guess I couldn't even do the math on that. I mean, if you asked me 10 years ago how big Zappos would be today, I wouldn't have been able to give you.
You wouldn't have said 1,500?
I would, at that time, have no idea. So 10 years ago, I guess we had... we had about 90 employees maybe 10 years ago.
90? Oh, yeah, okay. So I'm going to rifle through some questions now. You got into urban development with pretty much no experience. I think you have millions to sort of power through mistakes that might be made as you're going through this process. But I wonder if you ever sit back and think, if having done it for about 2 years now, there are things you would have done differently, or would you have brought in more people who can deal with the politics of the city and of the county and of the state? I mean, What kind of things have you learned in just the 2 years of doing this?
I think probably the number one thing is that just buildings or anything construction related just takes a long time. You know, I come from a tech background where you can go from idea to launching something overnight. And so it's been, I guess, a little challenging trying to be more patient. But you're right, I don't come from an urban anything background. And for me, the evolution was actually really more from party planning. Like 10 years ago, I was throwing parties and would think about things like, how do you, like if there's two bars at the party, do things like shut down the first bar in order to avoid congestion, and then people will always find the alcohol at any party, and then maybe an hour later, after they've circulated around, then open up the initial first bar, and that gets people flowing instead of being all stuck at the first bar, which is what you see at a lot of events. And then that kind of transitioned to within Zappos, because culture is so important to us, thinking about how do you get employees to collide with each other more often, have these serendipitous encounters in an office environment. And then, you know, with Downtown Vegas, it's kind of the same concept,
just at a different scale. A lot of people, I mean, scuttlebutt, people say, well, you can't do the same thing in a city that you do in an office. You just can't do it.
Well, I think there's certain principles that you can think about, and that we think about at Downtown Project, which is things like really thinking about how do we think of spaces as potential collision points. And I mean, you and I weren't planning on meeting last night, and we collided with each other at the Gold Spike. And so that's something that we do a lot of thinking about when we think about what are the types of small businesses, for example,
that
we want to invest
in. I'm still waiting for the bar in the elevator. That's one of your ideas you came up with about a year and a half ago, which I thought was brilliant. I'd sit, go up and down that elevator all day long. Now, Inspire Theater is one of the, to me, is one of the most inspiring but unusual things you are creating downtown, and that is at the corner of Las Vegas Boulevard and Fremont. You've taken an old 7-Eleven, and you're creating space, a theater for a speaker's bureau. There will be a bar, a coffee shop inside. But, I mean, you're talking about space on some prime, well, it was always, I think, sort of prime real estate, but it's become much more so because of Downtown Project. And instead of making, I don't know, you could make a convenience store there and make grillions and grillions of dollars, you're doing a theater for speakers to come to. I mean, are these tourists at the Fremont Street Experience right across the street going to come and listen to speakers? Are downtown residents going to come? Are you going to force your Zappos employees to come and listen and give them brownie points to do that? What was behind this?
Well, we're definitely not targeting the tourists that are on the other side of Las Vegas Boulevard at the Fremont Street Experience, because I think they're in town probably for something else. But it's really for anyone that's interested in kind of expanding their horizons and learning something. And the idea is hopefully one day you can just walk in there any afternoon and there's someone giving an interesting talk about something, and you can learn something from that. And we actually already have a downtown speaker series going. There's talks going on in the Learning Village every single week. In fact, today we have the Nolan, who's the founder of Chuck E. Cheese and Atari, speaking. And so we've gotten all sorts of interesting people, like the co-founder and co-CEO of Whole Foods, Morgan Spurlock, who did the documentary Supersize Me, some geneticists that combined the DNA of a firefly and a plant to make a real-life glow-in-the-dark plant. And so it's all sorts of really interesting stuff. And the idea is to help make the community broaden their perspective and help make downtown Vegas smarter.
I want to ask you this. I'm not sure I got to the answer to this question. Who is Tony Hsieh? You look at yourself in the mirror, and who do you see? What do you see? I'm legitimately asking that question. I mean, do you see a shrink every week to figure that stuff out? You're so busy. I don't know how you sleep. I don't know if you're taking on this 20 minutes or hour of sleep every 4 hours like Einstein or somebody did. But who are you? If you had to describe yourself, who would you say you are?
I guess, so one of my favorite TV shows growing up was MacGyver, and and he never had exactly what he needed, but he kind of threw this combination of creativity and street smarts and optimism. He still had the faith that he'd figure it out by the end of the hour, and for me, that's why I love being an entrepreneur. It's kind of like getting to play MacGyver, but for business.
That was awesome. Thanks so much, Tony. I'm Joe Shaneman, who writes under Joe Downtown in the Las Vegas Sun and Las Vegas Weekly. This is the Joe Downtown Show at KUNV 91.5 FM. We've been talking to Tony Hsieh, the CEO of Zappos. He's doing some interesting, some would say amazing things downtown, and it's going to be fascinating to watch over the next few years. Thanks, Tony. Our second guest in this thematic journey from the known to the unknown is Leah Ballard. You don't know her. I didn't know her until a day or so ago when she talked to my producer, Steve Zeller, about the radio show we were taping here at the Beat Coffee House. So we got to talking. I learned a little bit about her. She grew up here, moved away, went to college, did some interesting things, came back, and, well, let's talk to Leah about that. Welcome, Leah.
Hi.
How you doing? First of all, tell me a little bit about growing up in Las Vegas. Where would you hang out? Where you went to high school? That kind of thing.
I went to Clark High School. One thing that I always tell people about growing up in Las Vegas, we went to see a lot of music, and for pretty cheap, too. We were at the Neonopolis back when there was Jillian's. GameWorks on the Strip down there at M&M World or something. And I was a big part of the music scene, the ska scene is what we called it. And I still have friends that are active today in the ska scene. One Pin Short is a band that is still around. They were
What'd
playing
you call it?
One Pin Short, OPS.
You mean like one pin short of a full deck, that kind of thing?
Maybe. I was thinking
bowling
pins. Yeah,
oh, okay. Gotcha.
And they actually played at the Gold Spike on Sunday night.
Oh, yeah. Wow. So I should have asked you, how old are you?
23.
Mm-hmm. And so you must have been getting into bars, like, illegally and stuff.
Oh, no. These were all ages venues,
which
was a big deal.
Right.
And there have been a couple around the valley that have come and gone.
Now, so were you into the music scene? Are your family come from a family of musicians? And
yeah, my brother. There's a street near Clark High School called Thumbelina Avenue. And we always joked because the biggest kid I knew lived on Thumbelina. And Jesse Alonzo's Garage was actually a pretty popular venue when I was going to high school, and you still run into people that you knew from Jesse's Garage, and all these different bands would play there.
Our producer Steve knows that place.
Oh, really?
So did you play, or did your family play?
My older brother played on a number of bands. Right now he's in one based in Reno called Moondog Matinee, and they're actually playing at the Beer Fest coming up this weekend on the 21st.
Oh, awesome.
And also at the Life is Beautiful Festival coming up in October.
Well, that's, wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty, the Life is Beautiful Festival is October 26th and 27th over 15 blocks of downtown Las Vegas. So what did your parents do? You know, again, this is really essentially like we just met, and I just think, We talked a bit with Leah yesterday, and I thought she was interesting, so that's what we're talking about. So I'm going to ask a lot of intrusive questions. So what did your parents do, or what do they do?
My mom was a teacher growing up. Now she's an AP and assistant principal at Rogers Elementary, and my dad does construction. He's a building inspector.
Awesome. Yeah. So you went to Clark High School, presumably graduated, and where'd you go? What'd you do?
I picked my college. I wanted to play sports in college, and I wasn't good enough to play at the big university, so I went to a small school in Portland, Oregon. And I've heard since then that everybody and their brother goes to Portland after they move out of Las Vegas.
So, yeah, Portlandia.
Yes, it's all true.
I'm not going to say you look exactly like the Portlandians, but you have that vibe. There's sort of a laid-backedness to you.
I grew into it a little bit when I got up there. I kind of felt it a little bit in Las Vegas, but there was definitely more of a culture for the, I guess, laid-back look in Portland, more so than Vegas, anyway.
You went to college, you got a degree, you went to a Christian college?
Mm-hmm.
You got a degree in spirituality? What's your degree?
In English communications and creative writing.
Oh, okay. And then, so then you went and you wrote a book.
Oh, not yet.
Not yet. Okay.
I write a blog now.
Oh, so you stayed in Portland for a while?
Yeah, I did for 5 years.
And what's your blog?
Frontageread.com, like frontage road along the highway.
Mm-hmm.
That's the idea.
Your personal experiences, that kind of thing?
Yeah, and I write it I had a hard time blogging just with the format of talking to whomever happened to click on it. So I started writing it in letters to friends and family. So it's kind of organized by the person I'm writing to. So you kind of get to know that person through the letters I write them. And then at the same time, you get to see kind of my journey. And I don't write to my mom about the creepy hitchhiker I picked up on Highway 64. I write to a friend about that, and then I'll write to my parents about, oh, yeah, my boat flipped over.
That's right. Now, a boat flipped over. That leads us to your next romantic journey. What? Tell me about the boat flipping over. What were you doing where a boat flips over?
I'm a whitewater raft guide in Ocoee, Tennessee.
That's funny, coming from somebody who grew up in the desert.
Yeah, exactly. I've told that joke a lot, actually. But it actually suits, coming from Las Vegas, because there's a bunch of different companies on this river, and the way you kind of stand out from the crowd is how you entertain, is you're like riding on the bus to the put-in and all the way down the river. So I guess the story that I've told over and over again is how the heck I got to Tennessee from Las Vegas, and what are you doing on the river when you grew up in the desert?
Yeah. So is Tennessee, I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Deliverance. It's a frightening romantic comedy, but have you seen the movie, and did you get a sense of that in the place you were?
I watched the movie since I got there, because that's a big joke pretty much throughout. You're always telling jokes about Deliverance in Polk County, Tennessee, which is where I am, and I have been lost on those back dirt roads. Exactly, yeah. And it's all true, actually. We tell jokes like, oh, beware of the Tennessee locals when you're going down the river. They'll be on the banks, and you can fight them off with your paddle. But it's actually true. There's been a number of times that we've gotten off the bus to unload these boats, and there's like, you know, some toothless, drunken grin standing there. And the customers will be like, you thought we were joking, but here it is. And then they're getting off the bus, and they're like back to the wall. Like.
And these aren't Cirque du Soleil actors you guys have hired?
It's all true, yeah.
When did you work there for, what, 4 months this year?
Yeah, I started April 5th, and it's just about over. So.
Yeah. Now, you're 23. Was it young love that drew you to Tennessee?
Oh, gosh. That's the way I tell the story, is I met a banjo player, and it's more romantic.
Was that his favorite song, the Deliverance theme song?
He could play it. He could.
Oh, okay.
But he was telling the joke before I got it, because I hadn't seen Deliverance, you know, until I got there. But I hadn't even seen Whitewater till I got there. So that was pretty rare. With the other people starting the job, they had at least been down the river and knew what they were getting themselves into, whereas I just kind of heard this story and I wanted to be part of that kind of lifestyle. Cool. So I wanted to do that job.
And then it ended and you came back to Vegas to see your parents?
Yeah.
You have this sort of like driftless sense about you.
That's exactly. I mean, I left my car in Tennessee. And I flew back for a visit because, you know, Grandpa's getting old. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to spend some time with him while I'm between jobs. But when I go back, I've got everything I own in my car, which isn't much because that was part of the leaving Portland, is this huge yard sale. And I just sold everything I had for a buck a piece and kind of hit the road, which was also a lot of fun. But when I go back to Tennessee, I've got my car and I've got a couple of different friends in a couple of different cities that I want to go visit. And the plan is to just kind of scrape by until I find my next job.
Awesome. Now, this is Joe Shaneman. I'm a writer for Las Vegas Weekly and Las Vegas Sun under Joe Downtown. This is the Joe Downtown Show at KUNV 91.5 FM. I'm talking to Leia Ballard, who grew up in Vegas, moved away, and is back. And since we are downtown and I saw you down here, what the heck are you doing downtown? And 5 years ago, did you ever think you'd be where you are right now, talking to somebody on a radio or even just standing in this area? Because I know I wasn't.
Oh, definitely not. I'd heard about kind of the movement of East Fremont, or Fremont East, I guess it's called, just from my brother kind of coming down from Reno to play shows, and my mom up with the different events and stuff. And I came down, I always want to, it must be the Portlander in me, but I always look for the coffee shop when I get to a new town because it's just kind of comfortable for me. Mm-hmm. And before I came and talked to you guys, I'm kind of sitting in the corner, like, taking notes on the differences between the coffee shop in Las Vegas. Like, the bar that they've got set up, people come and just talk to the baristas, which I think there's less of a culture for that in Portland and maybe some other...
The baristas aren't as receptive?
Yeah, it's a different relationship, because there's regulars at the coffee shops in Portland, but it's... I don't know. There's so much. There's a front. Like, you got to be
that's super interesting.
Eloquently disheveled.
When I first started writing the Joe Downtown column about 9 months ago, I wrote something about how this is beginning to look a little bit like Portland. But what do you think? Is this Portland-esque, or what's the vibe here? How do you see what's going on down here, or the differences?
I do get a little bit of the Portland-esque, but there's the art you see in Las Vegas will forever be Vegas. There's going to be the old signs that I grew up. They were sitting in the back of someone's backyard, and there was that.
Lonnie Hammergren's house.
Yeah, and it was the graveyard, the Las Vegas sign.
The neon boneyard, which is a few blocks from here.
That's right. So I think, you could say Portlandy, but I think that's kind of a term just for getting more artistic, more boutiques and little stores.
But it's different here.
Yeah, because you'll see like the young hipsters, quote unquote, that you see all over Portland, but in the same minute you'll see the middle-aged tourists walking around with the $2 margaritas from the Gold Spike or wherever it is.
Uh-huh.
And there's still like the homeless population that had dominated downtown, which is, moving further east now that this place is getting more popular and used more by a younger, more local generation.
Aren't you sort of... It sounds like you, I bet you maybe you didn't realize it until maybe this redevelopment down here, but you have a lot of affinity for Las Vegas, maybe that you didn't realize until you've come back here.
Yeah, I really wanted, I'm big into family, and I really wanted to find a place to belong in Las Vegas, and I think now that this downtown area is getting developed and they really are putting an emphasis on community, culture, and art, something other than the Strip, because I think the community that revolves around the Strip is not into... I don't know, building a permanent thing here. Like I've known people from Portland that moved down here to like deal cards and make a little money for 5 years and then moves back out. And there's a huge culture for that in Las Vegas, but that's what I didn't like about the city.
Yeah, because the transients, people weren't, they weren't setting roots. They weren't, or roots, whatever, however they say it in Tennessee.
Yeah. But I also... The beauty of the desert is something I also tell a lot of people about when they say, well, Las Vegas, what's it like growing up there? Because it's just, the sky is huge in Nevada, and I think the desert's beautiful, especially in this monsoon season. Of course, you got to watch out for flash floods, but...
Yeah, so are you staying? What are you doing?
I've got to go back to my car, and...
You got to go back to your car?
It's in Tennessee.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, so I got to go pick
car.
It up.
Okay.
And then, I don't think I'll come back... This summer. I don't know. Well, it's the end of the summer. I don't think I'll come back this fall because I want to do some more traveling.
Like a tumbleweed.
Yeah. But I do now think that this could be like the home base to come and stay for, 5 years or to raise a family. Who knows?
That's awesome.
But it's nice that I can see that in my hometown because I really, really wanted to have something to grab onto other than my mom and dad here.
That is so awesome. We're going to wrap this up, Leah. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
Thank
is
you.
Leah Ballard. She's... like I said, somebody you've never heard of, but her voice is just as important as Tony Shea's. I'm Joe Downtown. This is the Joe Downtown Show on KUNV 91.5 FM. Thanks, Leah.
Thanks a lot.